Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour solar flare fiesta. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to 180 radio affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Boston to Tampa, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? Happy Friday to you. Thanks so much for carving out some time with us. We've got a good show coming up for you tonight. NBA playoffs. NFL draft action. We continue to drill down on the scandal, the controversy of the week. Keebler producing Girl Scout cookie equivalent.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
It's all right here. So as always, I'd love to get you guys here on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855 212-4227. You can always connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. We are on the verge of the NBA playoffs, and yet the Knicks have taken center stage as Phil Jackson addressed the offseason and Carmelo Anthony today. And then Carmelo responded with a one-word Instagram post.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
The director of officiating is leaving the NFL to go to TV. What does that mean for the league? And does Jose Fernandez, the recently deceased in Miami, does he get a statue? And should he outside of the Marlins ballpark? A lot of that and more here on the show. Again, 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. But this weekend marks the beginning of the NBA playoffs. And when it comes to the NBA playoffs, there is one thing that keeps hanging over this league and this season, and we have talked about it here on this show. Too predictable. Too predictable. We know what's going to happen. It's going to be Warriors. It's going to be Cavs. It'll be LeBron versus Steph Curry. We all know how this thing's going to end, and people are annoyed by that. And obviously, the odds suggest that will be what happens because the Warriors have been clearly the best team in all of the NBA, and the Cavaliers still don't look like they have a legit toe-to-toe rival in the East to knock them off, even though they've looked vulnerable. But you know what? There are other possible outcomes for this NBA postseason that could be absolutely thrilling. And I listed today the 10 things from 10 to 1 I would love to see in these playoffs. I listed the 10 things in ascending order that would be absolutely awesome and not just a march to a finals with Cavs and Warriors part 3. So let's start listing them off and counting them down. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
You know, put yourself in position to win at home and on the road in the playoffs. So I'm excited about that part of it. And, you know, we've been there before. We've obviously succeeded and come up short, and we understand the subtle, you know, how important every possession is in that regard.
I'm excited. I mean, honestly, we had a really, really good season, especially being our first year basically together with the coaching staff and whatnot. But I think we're all excited. We're in a good place, and we're ready for the postseason.
Through everything that went on with our team, we're in a position where we can do something special still. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not one to harp on what happened in the regular season through injuries, through bad losses, through good wins, through whatever the case may be. We have a good club going into the postseason.
Smart. I've been very impressed with this kid.
Incredible night.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
Here's the headline of the night.
Here he goes.
It's DA's Cold Open.
That was Steph Curry, James Harden, and LeBron James heading into the postseason tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern time. The playoffs begin with the Pacers in Cleveland to take on the Cavs. After that, the Bucks and Raptors from Toronto. Late night, it's going to be Grizzlies at Spurs and then Jazz at the Clippers. So a quadruple header tomorrow of the NBA playoffs. Here's how I would count down and rank the 10 most exciting possible outcomes of the NBA's postseason. Number 10.
10.
The Hawks redeeming Atlanta sports. You know that right now that city is still going through the stages of grief following the epic collapse in the Super Bowl. Right now, I think they're locked in depression. Could the Hawks, as a 5 seed, shake them out of the doldrums? You know, the last time Atlanta has a pro sports championship, the only time was the 1995 Atlanta Braves. That's now 22 years ago. I know that the Hawks are the least sexy team of the playoffs, maybe neck and neck with Gordon Hayward's vanilla latte Utah Jazz. But think about Dwight Howard perhaps dragging his franchise and his city, his hometown team, to a world championship. Now, even in that scenario, he'd be really hard to embrace. But the city of Atlanta does deserve redemption. That would be number 10. Number 9.
10-9.
The Blazers shocking the world and upsetting the Warriors in the first round. If somehow Portland pulled the trick and knocked off a 67-win Warriors team in the 1-8, it would be one of the most shocking upsets in NBA playoff history and the most shocking 1-8 upset of the first round. It would overtake Nuggets Sonics back in 1994. Damian Lillard has called Blazers in 6. CJ McCollum could shoot the lights out. How amazing would it be? And if that happened, it would be one of those true remember where you were moments. And it would also stamp Golden State as one of the biggest choke artists of all time, blowing a 3-1 series lead that never happened last year in the finals. And then coming into this year, winning 67 games and losing in the first round. Could you imagine the scorn Kevin Durant would get in the offseason? Blazers shocking the world and beating the Warriors in the first round would be number 9. Number 8.
10-9-8.
The Warriors throw a perfect game and don't lose in the postseason. The inverse of the Warriors losing in the first round would be that they go faux, 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 faux. Sweep everybody en route to a championship, which would be the ultimate hand in the face. Screw you, everybody, after what happened last year in the finals. The closest we've come to a perfect postseason is Moses Malone's 83 Sixers when he said we're going to go faux, 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 and they went faux, 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 lost one game. and the 0-1 Lakers with Shaq and Kobe that went 15-1, only lost one game en route to a championship. If Golden State pulled off a 16-0 postseason, they then would have a good argument on being one of the greatest teams of all time. Number 7.
10, 9, 8, 7.
LeBron versus Popovich 3. Everyone's thinking about, LeBron versus Popovich 4. Everybody's thinking about LeBron versus Steph Curry 3. But how about LeBron's never-ending nemesis in battle with the Spurs and Popovich? Remember, his first NBA Finals in 07 with the Cavaliers, he was just a young guy. They got swept by San Antonio. Then, back-to-back years, his Heat teams played the Spurs. One year was Ray Allen's miraculous three that saved the 2013 Finals. And then the next year, San Antonio blew through an exhausted Heat team in 2014. This would be the fourth installment of LeBron versus Popovich and the Spurs, which would be pretty cool. The fourth time in a decade, that'd be the number 7 best scenario that could unfold.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Number 6, the Raptors bring home a title to Toronto, and Drake gets airlifted to a hospital. Now, I'm not talking about killing Drake, but the Raptors don't get a lot of interest because of their lack of history. They're under-the-radar stars in DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, now Serge Ibaka, P.J. Tucker. They don't get a ton of commercials, aren't those famous faces that pop up in the league branding. But you know Toronto loves its basketball team, and there hasn't been a lot of sports to cheer about in Toronto for about a quarter century. I mean, really, basically, since the Blue Jays won the World Series of 93, because the Maple Leafs are on this epic cup drought. The Jays just got back to the playoffs the last couple of years. The Raptors have never got to the NBA Finals. But you know what? The sports fortune is kind of changing in Toronto. Leafs are back in the playoffs. Good young team. Austin Matthews. Blue Jays have been a powerful team in the AL East last couple of years. And now the Raptors coming off an Eastern Conference Finals. If the Raptors bring home a championship, Drake is going to be even more insufferable. But probably will pass out due to shock and exhaustion of exploiting the moment for his own personal fame. And so we don't wish him death here, but we do wish him being bedridden for the summer so that he can't annoy us and ruin the parade. We'll get to your top five coming up after the break. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Robin's in California, listening on 1450 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Robin?
DA, I'm going to have to ask you to beam me up for the second and last time, please.
Okay. You know, this doesn't have to be your last time, though.
Well, I called my local affiliate a couple days ago, and they said they're not going to carry you in your new time slot, which made me very upset.
Well, thank you for calling and asking the PD. We appreciate everybody that will do that. But remember, you can always stream us. You can always listen to us wherever you are. And you can listen to us even when we're not on live. And you can watch us on the computer.
That's what I wanted to ask you, because I have to work. I have to work during your new slot time. So how can I do that?
Okay. So do you have iTunes?
Yes.
Okay. So all of our shows are going to be on iTunes. And so you'll just search DA CBS. And you'll see it.
Okay.
And every single day, once we're off the air at noon Eastern, it'll probably be published, uploaded maybe by 12:30, 1 o'clock Eastern time. Once that is up, you can just download every hour, whatever hour you want to hear. If you want to hear all four or all three of them, you can do that.
Yeah.
No commercials. And if you just want to go to a website and you don't want to use iTunes, our website, daoncbs.com, will have the same exact thing, and you'll just hit play. So it'll just click right there. So you can get to listen
to
the entire
thing. Problem is, I won't be able to talk to you and get beamed up because I won't be able to call you when you're live on the radio. That's what's upsetting me the most.
Maybe you could sneak away for like a bathroom break or lunch break or something.
Well, my friends are going to have to sneak away because they live in New York, and they said because you went to mornings, they're not going to be able to listen to you much either, unfortunately. So.
Well, they're going to have to switch as well. We're going to have to retrain everybody here.
I guess so, but I'm going to miss you guys because I love you and I love being beamed up. And like I said, I'm going to miss all my friends on the mothership.
Well, thanks so much. But again, I mean, as long as you can listen to us, however you can listen to us, it's going to be the same show, just different time slot. And I think it's going to be really cool.
Awesome, D. Well, you have a great weekend, and congratulations on your new time slot.
You too, Robin. Thanks so much. Appreciate the kind words. Yeah, this is cool because it's going to be the same show with a little bit more bells and whistles, but some easier ways to watch and listen. We've got the webcast going on every day, so you'll be able to watch the show, not only live, but if you ever want to go back and watch the show after we're off the air, all day long, 24 hours, you'll just be able to watch the show. They'll have it archived there, the entire Bad Boy. So whatever we do on the hijinks, you'll be able to watch on the webcast. How cool is that? 855-212-4CBS. My top five potential outcomes, the most fun, the most entertaining possibilities of the NBA playoffs next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
I always like wanted to have my face licked.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on to the show and we'll answer it. Don't take a risk of a dead battery. O'Reilly Auto Parts provides free battery testing. If your battery needs to be replaced, professional parts people can find the exact battery that fits your car or truck with free installation. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So I was counting down while everybody thinks this could be the most inevitable NBA playoffs and drama and soap opera free, because we just assume it's going to be Warriors and Cavs. The whole year, I felt like, nah, I'm just not vibing that. I don't think it's going to be this kind of easy road through and that we're just inevitably going to get there without some major potholes, pitfalls, drama, one of those or both of them getting knocked off. I just feel like it's not so easy as to just peg them in for number three, a rematch, Cavs and Warriors part trois. And so here's my top five potential outcomes of the NBA playoffs. The coolest things we could see, and LeBron versus Steph is not number one. Number five.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
Isaiah Thomas becomes an all-time great closer. One of the big storylines this year was the growth and development of Isaiah Thomas into one of the best fourth quarter machines we have seen in the league in a long time.
You are a machine of death.
The Celtics could have, if they get there, two Eastern Conference Finals games to open up with, game one and two at home, and then a game seven against, say, LeBron at TD Garden. Imagine if Isaiah throws down 21 points in that final quarter to outduel LeBron and push the Celtics into the NBA Finals. And then imagine him also doing that in the NBA Finals against the Warriors to push him into a historic stratosphere with the league's greatest clutch players ever, and then he would definitely earn a place among the ghosts of Celtics past. Number four.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
The Clippers finally climbing the summit. Now, I know that the Clippers have this reputation as underachievers, but think about how far we've come that they can actually have any expectations at all. When that franchise moved to LA in 1984, it spent its first 20 years of existence in LA with only one winning season. They won only one playoff series in those 20 years. I mean, it was biblical misery that they had going on. Total incompetence. If Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, and company actually win a title, it will easily be the greatest moment in franchise history, dating back to when they were the Buffalo Braves in 1970. And it would be pretty cool to see LA's other less glitzy team and less glitzy fan base finally have those Donald Sterling demons exercised. Number three.
10, 9, 8-7-6-5-4-3.
James Harden and the Rockets exploding for a championship, because the development of the beard has been one of the great storylines this season. He may be the MVP, although I think that goes to Russ. Harden drives a Maserati of an offense in the NBA to perfection. And now everybody's started to love Harden. He's been amazing to watch. He's incorporated his team. He's played every minute, basically, of every game. And Mike D'Antoni was a joke a couple of years ago. He wanted to play all offense, hoist up a lot of three-point shots, don't play defense, and everybody laughed at him. That'll never work. That'll never work when he was in Phoenix. And now, because of new rules, because people all around the league want the three and have recognized the value and the efficiency of the three, that Houston is the grand experiment. If the Rockets win the city's first championship since 1995, and remember, the Texans have never won one, and neither have the Astros, you'll see a shift league-wide in what teams accept as basketball gospel. And it's always fun to tear down some old stuff. Number two.
10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2.
Game 7, Cavs-Warriors. I mean, while this feels like the most likely outcome, let's face it, a Game 7 at Oracle, delirious fan base, a Warriors team looking for revenge from last year's Game 7 and 3-1 series collapse would be amazing. Amazing theater. The block from last year by LeBron in that Game 7 at Oracle is going to live forever. If the Cavaliers and LeBron did it again to the Warriors, that would be like pulling out Golden State's soul. The Dubs for revenge, the Cavs to do it again, the drama of a Game 7, Cavaliers and Warriors would be off the charts. And finally, the number one most exciting outcome of these playoffs.
10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1.
Russell Westbrook averages a playoff triple-double and wins a championship. Think about this road that Russ could go through. He could go through Harden and the Rockets in round one, the Spurs and Kawhi in round two, Steph and company in round three, and then LeBron in the NBA Finals. If he averaged a triple-double and whipped through those four series and dragged that team to a championship, and then he won a ring before Kevin Durant did, and he won a ring staying and Kevin Durant didn't leaving, it would have to be considered, after he averaged a triple-double this year and will likely be the MVP, the greatest single season any player has ever had. It would have to be in that conversation. If it wasn't number one, it would have to be one of the few greatest single seasons any player has ever had in league history. I mean, he's the most entertaining player to watch on most nights because his give-a-crap meter is pinned at 100% all the time. If he goes on a one-man wrecking crew, averages a triple-double, and wins the championship, that would be the most exciting and the greatest outcome of these NBA playoffs. That's my top 10 potential outcomes that I would love to see. Let's hope we get at least one of those. If you want to check them all out again, if you want to read through, that's my column from today for CBS Sports. I've posted it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Also, it's on Twitter, DA on CBS, and it's on our website, daoncbs.com. We'll get back to your calls, jump back into you guys at 855-212-4CBS. And also, Dean Blandino is leaving the league, but why are we throwing bouquets at his feet? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ooh, If you're a D-Alien, then welcome aboard.
My man, it's been too long. Well, you know where I gotta go when I call the show, so beat me up to that UFO known as the mothership.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. The new time slot begins on Monday. We move 9 to noon Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio. And we've got a webcast now, so you can watch the show every single day, live or whenever you want. It'll be at watchda.com. Watchda.com. We'll always tweet out the links, post them on Facebook and the like. But you can check it out there every single day. And if you ever miss the show, as soon as we're off the air, it replays again through the rest of the day. So, the overexposure begins. I mean, basically what you have is a series of chicken challenges that will play on loop for eternity.
And now he is twerking his face.
How exciting is that? Again, I don't think the boss has thought all of this through. We're very cordially, very professionally, okay, that sounds good. But we try this, would this be okay? Okay. And then next week they're going to be like, why the hell did we let them do all this? Oh, it's going to be great. So, what a loss. Dean Blandino, the head of NFL officiating, is leaving for television. Reportedly, he will be joining Fox in the Mike Pereira role, but with Mike Pereira still there. Great, because the one thing we need more of is officiating and former officiating officials or analysts or experts getting more calls wrong. I mean, at what point are we going to realize this is a dopey idea? Because what you have at its essence, at its core right now, let's just talk straight, is officials doing their best on the field, but largely guessing and hoping replay bails them out. That either replay is going to confirm what they said or bail them out because it's just too fast. The game's really fast. They're paralyzed because they know everything is reviewable, basically, or will be reviewed, or if it can't be reviewed, played over and over and over again on social media or on TV, and they're going to be skewered after the game and then graded down on it. So what officials are doing is they are relying on the replay to save them. They are erring on the side of caution, so that they're letting plays go. They're not blowing the whistle so it's dead. They're letting everything go through and then going back to check their work. They are writing the report as fast as humanly possible, but realizing it's only their first draft. They can go back and check. So what you have also with the ridiculously Byzantine and absurd length and depth and wordiness of the rule book in the NFL, you've got officials interpreting the same plays different ways. Again, we don't know what a catch is. They have tried over and over and over again to define and clarify what the most basic play in football is. And we still don't really know. So you have officials pretty much guessing on the fly, having replay kind of confirm or deny, and then other officials in the booth who formally did that kind of guessing what the interpretation's going to be. It's the most inexact science ever. And so you have Mike Pereira or Mike Carey or pick your ex-official in the booth, and if you did this exercise, I promise you, you will find this. Those ex-officials go 50-50 on what they think the call is going to be. When Pereira goes, well, I think this is going to be an incomplete pass because of blank, blank, and blank, he's 50-50. Sometimes he'll be verified. Other times they say complete pass or incomplete pass against what he says. I think this thing's going to be a fumble. He's 50-50. I think this is going to be a touchdown. It's 50-50. It's always 50-50 because, again, it is just essentially layers of interpretation. And different guys interpret different moments different ways. because the rule book is so foobarred. So it's so stupid to me to be spending tons of money or tons of time on ex-officials breaking down these games in the middle of the telecast. I think, honestly, it's just noise. Because when Mike Pereira comes on the screen, I never hear him and listen to him and watch him and go, oh, well, that's what happened. Okay, he's right. He goes through the explanation, and then I still have to see whether he's right. So adding more of that seems stupid to me. But Dean Blandino, I don't know about anybody else, but watching and hearing some of the commentary from people like Peter King saying the NFL needs Dean Blandino and this is a huge loss and he's irreplaceable. What am I missing here? Wasn't the entire aura surrounding the NFL the last couple of years, who knows what the rules are? Like, isn't that been the biggest thing? Confusion over the rules. Mass confusion over the rules. I've said this before. Do we ever see a home run hit in baseball and half the crowd goes, yeah, no, that's a home run, and half the crowd goes, no, that's not a home run? After watching the replay and hearing the ump? No, we know. We know exactly what a catch is. We know exactly what a home run is. In basketball, no one's ever like, I don't know if that bucket went in. I'm just not sure. Nobody ever says in hockey, I think that goal crossed. No, I don't think the goal crossed. It's pretty black and white now that we have high-def definition, high-def and zoom-in television screens and cameras and instant replays and technology. But in football, what's a catch? Well, I thought that was a catch, but you don't think that's a catch. And was there a football move involved? And what does the knee count as? And did he twist his body? But when did he put the football down? And Dean Blandino oversaw all of this. He's irreplaceable? I also want to be real on this. Dean Blandino lost to me an enormous amount of credibility when he was photographed coming off of that Cowboys team bus. And I know people will say, well, what does it really matter? It's a team bus. It could have been anybody's team bus. He's going from point A to point B. It doesn't mean that the Cowboys get preferential treatment. No. What it means is you're not taking your job as arbiter of level-headed and even-handed justice seriously. You'd rather party with the people throwing the party. And to me, that's not okay. You know, you are overseeing the officials. The NFL officials have to, at all times, show and prove a reputation of being even-handed. At all times, you're supposed to be the fair person, the level-headed, unbiased, detached person with no affiliation. And Dean Blandino didn't care. He didn't care for that night. For that night, it was better to be the cool guy and be on that bus. And I know that we joke about that. Oh, he was on the team bus. Oh, the Cowboys have a team bus. I didn't think that was cool. And I didn't think that was joke-worthy. And I didn't think the people in the league that just kind of brush that off, I don't think that's being honest. You know, yeah, when you're in the middle of the league, you have a lot of perks thrown at you. But the officials are supposed to be above those things. And he's the head of officiating and didn't care enough. He'd rather be on a party bus with the Cowboy star on the side. Even if the Cowboys don't get preferential treatment, you've got to be better than that. So frankly, I don't have a lot of respect for Dean Blandino, but I definitely can't imagine anybody who's the head of officiating over the last 5 years, where all we've done is argue about rules, is indispensable. I thought that was crazy today. I thought it was crazy. Peter King tweeted, the NFL needs Dean Blandino. For what? Who is the next guy? CBS doesn't need me. They got another guy that's going to take over this time slot the moment that they want to get rid of me. Nobody needs anybody. Like, who's totally indispensable? There's nobody in the NFL that's indispensable. Nobody. Let alone Dean Blandino. Well, who was his assistant? He's now just in that job. And do you think you'll ever see some type of difference? I mean, next year, at what point will you be like, God, the league really misses Dean Blandino? I mean, come on. Come on. Like, let's get real. Mraz, could you believe the bouquets that were thrown at Blandino this morning?
Mike Florio was another guy going, people don't realize how important Dean Blandino was to the league. How important?
Doing what?
All we've been is confused for the last decade.
And the officials are clearly confused.
Yes. And how many times do we have to discuss in the offseason tweaks to replay? Why do we need tweaks to replay? Because obviously we keep doing something wrong, and that's headed by Dean Blandino.
So what is that about? Why does Peter King and Florio and all these other people suggest that Blandino is that indispensable?
Dean Blandino was just as bad as Rob Hennigan the last 5 years.
The Magic GM that just got canned. Yeah, but so why? Why are they rushing to the defense of Blandino?
My guess is you see the video with Blandino coming off the bus. I'm assuming if you're in NFL circles and you're that close covering the game, I bet you Dean Blandino is a really cool guy to have a beer with.
Right.
Very nice to get along with. Probably gives them more quotes than maybe a Pereira did earlier, whoever the next guy is going to come off with. And he's one of the guys.
Right.
So when he leaves, everybody acts like he does a great job when all he did was fool them because he was one of the guys.
And maybe Blandino actually helped clarify some things behind the scenes, and maybe he helped restructure the officials, or maybe there was something that happened there. But to act as though this is some huge loss to the NFL really did just show that, forget effectiveness, he was just popular. He was just popular within those league circles. And I'm sorry, that to me is the definition of the NFL, that it is such an old boys club. It is such the circles you run in, you'll stay in there forever. And Blandino was part of that. And they're all kind of in cahoots just defending one another, even though there's nothing to defend. Let them go to TV. There's not going to be one time next year we sit here and go, God, you know, the NFL, we would have gotten to the bottom of this with Dean Blandino on the case. Give me a break. Tyrell's next up at Anchorage, listening to 96.7 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Ty?
Hey, beam me up, DA.
All right. What's up, bud?
All right. Thank you, sir. Hey, my take not so much on the replay issue as much as, you know, the guys retiring for concussion issues or ex-athletes or guys getting out of the game that are still in shape. As you said, it's too fast for some of these guys. Why not employ former players to, if they can learn a playbook, they sure as hell know the rules, so why not employ them to be referees? And I think they would be much more in tune to the game, and, you know, the replay is still going to go to a central location, but these guys will be able to see it in real time and recognize things a lot faster than somebody who's only a part-time employee.
It's not a bad point. You know. Yeah, Ty, that's not a bad point, having former players who are more in tune, as you said, with the game being promoted to officials. I mean, being an NFL official takes a lot of work and a lot of commitment and having to know everything and going through the rungs of the ladder. So I'm not going to say that it's not a big deal and it's not a hard and difficult path to run to move through to finally get there. But I do think there's something to be said for players that have been there being able to say, okay, this is really what happened here, or this is how we should interpret this or whatnot. But I think more than that, even forget the former player, I just think we're at a point in time where football inherently is confusing. Think about all the rules. Like if you took somebody from a different country and you plopped them in front of a baseball game, I mean, first of all, if you plop them in front of a basketball game, it's the easiest thing ever to explain. That team needs to get into that basket. This team needs to get into that basket. Easy as that. Hockey, very easy. Describing icing and offsides and that stuff, that might be a little bit different. But, you know, you largely know what's happening there. A uniformity in both sides. Baseball, a little bit more, okay? They've got to hit the ball and it's got to hit the ground. Then you got to go to that station, that station, that station. If you try to explain football, it's like, well, why is that 3 points? Well, why are you kicking now? Well, why is that guy taking a knee at that point? Well, how many yards they got to get? Okay, well, why is this 4th and 15? Okay, what's a penalty? What? So 2nd and 16, now 2nd and 6. So there's just a million things. Oh, that's 2 points. So that's a punt, not a field goal. So inherently, you got to have 2 feet in bounds. Okay, possession, right? Is that a fumble? Well, a knee counts as 2 feet, right? So I think inherently it's very confusing. And then on top of it, the speed at which the NFL is being played, currently I believe humans cannot catch in the middle of it. I don't think you can properly officiate it anymore. I think it's just too fast. Until we get some type of hyper zoom eyeballs, like half robot stuff, I don't think human beings anymore can properly officiate the speed of an NFL game in the middle of it. It's got to be like being in the middle of a tornado and trying to just kind of guess, is that the cow that's flying by me or is that the barn? 855-212-4CBS. Sean Devaney on the NBA playoffs next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.